Well, I think all of us have had the experience, at least somewhere in our lives, of not recognizing somebody at first. And it's usually because we see them in the wrong context. We're used to seeing them, say, on television, being a particular kind of person, say, the mayor of Dog River. So when they're in front of you at the line at what was then Extra Foods, they're just some person. And later on you go, wait a second. Oh, so that's who that was. Sometimes people don't look as we're expecting them to look, so we don't recognize them at first. First time I met Ralph Goodale, I thought, my goodness, you're short compared to what I thought. Because he doesn't look short on television. But he does look like himself. He's a very pleasant person. I've run into him a few times. He's a lot of fun just to talk to. But he doesn't really look what you're expecting, and so it's easy to not know who it is at first. And that, of course, is some indication that today's message is about the story that was read for us out of Luke, about the two people, Cleopas and his companion, on the road to Emmaus, where they interacted with Jesus, not knowing who he was, until later on they did. It's actually a kind of an amusing story. I wonder if Jesus had to struggle to keep his face straight when he was talking to them about what they should have known already. I mean, Jesus was a person just like us, and we all have had that struggle when our kids are telling us things that we already know, to just, okay, yeah, go ahead, you finish your story, and then we'll move on. But it's also easy for us to look at this story and, as I've said before, reading things when you already know the ending sometimes makes it hard for us to fully enter into what it might have been like. And as a consequence, sometimes we're a little bit harder on some of the people in the story than perhaps we should be. Cleopas and his companion, who is unnamed, certainly can be forgiven for not recognizing Jesus right away. I mean, when we see people that we know are dead, our first thought, if it's anything, is going to be, wow, that person looks just like whoever it is. I mean, that only makes sense. And in this case, we have the double difficulty, as it says in the text, they were kept from recognizing him. So even if they wanted to, they couldn't. And I've often thought it seems like a sort of painting the lily and gilding the refined gold to keep from recognizing him, because why would they recognize him anyway? But eventually they did. And they had that experience of, oh, so that's who that was. We should have known. Well, as I was thinking through these texts, as I was looking at what the lectionary had for us this Sunday, and I was thinking, maybe this year I won't preach about Emmaus, and then I kept coming back to it anyway. But I was thinking about it from a slightly different perspective, I think, than I have in other years. I actually went back and listened to my last Year A Easter 3 sermons. They weren't bad. I was very pleased. There's a few things I would have done differently, of course, as there always are, but this is at least somewhat different in this year around. As I was thinking about this, and thinking about how we don't necessarily recognize what is when it's right in front of us. And once again, we tend to be hard on ourselves about that. When we find out later that, you know, the person that was in the airport next to us, our companions knew they were famous and they didn't tell us, so we couldn't get an autograph or whatever it might be, or at least, you know, so we could have that moment of saying, I was next to one of the Getzlaff brothers, which I was in the airport, but I did recognize him at least. These things, we tend to be hard on ourselves. Well, we tend to be hard on ourselves no matter what. And this is another area that we are, and I'd like us to think about it in a slightly different way this morning. All of us have had the opportunity at some point or another to have someone do a kindness to us, to do some bit of grace in our lives, whether it's big or small, doesn't really matter. Someone lets us in busy traffic. We're at a long line in a supermarket and we've got, you know, one or two things, and the person ahead of us with this huge cart, because it was still the shortest line, says, you should just go ahead. I'm in no rush. I've got lots, you have a little. And we look at that and we just take it as a random act of kindness directed towards us. And maybe that's all it is, but I put it to you that it might be something a little bit more. And we'll come back to that in a second, because first of all, I want us to take a moment to think about how well aware we are of the spiritual gifts that we have, for the most part. Most of us are well aware of what it is that we can offer to the church and to the community and to the world. And we often are aware of the fact that Jesus, in his corporeal sense, is not here. And so we are, in fact, Jesus' hands. There are hymns about this. It's a very strong tradition that when we do what God calls us to do, we are, as it were, we are Jesus doing to other people in the same way that Jesus would if he was here. Because in a very real sense, he is here, but not in a physical sense. So he gets us to carry the things around. He gets us to give people the hugs they need when they're grieving and all of that. And we're very aware of that and we're okay with that. What we don't seem to do very well is realize that other people can be Jesus to us. And I've noticed this off and on, that frequently people who will consistently talk about how the Holy Spirit laid it upon them to go and minister to someone, and they did, almost never talk about how Jesus let me go ahead of them in the line at Costco. Why is that? Why is it that we are aware that Jesus works through us, but we're so reticent to believe that Jesus cares enough about us that he'll work through other people for us in these day-to-day things? It's been a long time since any of us in here have had small babies that were our own, although we've had, you know, perhaps grandchildren of one kind or another. And one of the things that I notice, and this is even more so when you've got twins, you know, when you have your kids in packs, people look at you differently. And all kinds of times, at places like supermarkets or wherever else it might be, people would say, oh, your kids are that, you should go ahead of me because, you know, it's just me, I'm not in that big of a rush, you should just go ahead. That was Jesus who did that. Really, it was. Except it's hard for me to look at that. And I've been wondering why. And I'm not going to project this on any of you, but take it for what it is. In my case, I think it's arrogance. That I can be used by Jesus, but who's this stranger? I don't know them. Why would Jesus use them when I'm here? You put it that way, it's about as unpleasant as it can be. But honestly, that's part of the thinking that has gone into how I approach things. And I wonder if it is for all of us. We go through our lives doing what we can to extend the kingdom of God around us. And we do a pretty good job. I mean, I talk to you before and after church. We talk at session and at other meetings, like the very interesting and very pleasant meeting we had with Presbytery last Sunday, where we heard about the things that we do as a church, and they're all of value and they're all really good. Why is it so hard for us to believe that Jesus loves us enough that he wouldn't do the same for us? Because he does. And once again, I'm not saying that we all do this, but often I find myself just talking about the things of the day, and in a very real sense, leaving God out of them. And that's too bad. And it's too bad for lots of reasons. It's bad because for me, it demonstrates that I'm not as aware of God's care for me as I should be. It sells him short in ways that are really unfair. And it prevents us from the expression of gratitude that makes us just better people. Grateful people are always so much better to be around than ungrateful people, and you know that perfectly well. That's why, and of course this is probably a small reflection of where I am in my current life stage, if you're around adolescents, male or female, they tend to be kind of aggravating because they don't seem to understand how much is being done for them. They live in this world of entitlement. And so, you know, 12 great things happen to them in a day, and one not so great thing, and that's all they can talk about. And when you point out these others, they just, that doesn't matter. Somebody cut me off on the way home, or I said hello to somebody, they didn't say hello back. Say, what about all these other great things? Those don't matter. It's a sense of entitlement, and it's an unattractive quality that we all went through, hopefully for not very long, but maybe for a long time. And then we grew out of it, and we began to realize that we need to be grateful to the people around us. And we do need to be grateful to the people around us, but we also need to be grateful to God, who's the one who actually does these things for us. When was the last time that you encountered some random act of kindness directed towards you, and your experience was, so that's who that was? Sure, it looked like an older couple ahead of me in line who were watching me dealing with an underslept and over-sugared child and said, you should just go ahead. Yeah, it was an older couple who probably knew exactly where I was, had been there themselves at some point. But it was also Jesus. Jesus is concealed to us not because he's said we can't see him, because we don't really look for him the same way that we probably should. And this isn't to suggest for a moment that anyone here is living a life of ingratitude or is living their life in such a way that, you know, God is kind of irrelevant. I'm not saying any of those things. And I'm not saying that we should skip over the human actor in the thing and just thank Jesus and ignore the person who just let you go ahead or did whatever kind thing it was for you. Because it's important for us to express these kinds of things to the people in our lives. But being grateful to the people around you makes you a better person and helps you interact with them better. It's very difficult to be angry and sort of catty with the people you're grateful to, isn't it? Yeah, when you've just said, you know, thank you for doing this good thing for me, it's pretty hard to be sarcastic and unpleasant to that same person. And it's not that we're sarcastic and unpleasant towards God, but doesn't it help us if we express that gratitude to the people around us, but also to him? And not just in the general ways that we do, which are also good, but in the very specific ways. Yesterday, I got this text from Haley saying, among other things, that, if it wasn't for a pedestrian, she almost died. That's not the kind of text you want. And I thought, what? Well, tell me more. You can't just drop that on me and leave. Well, she was at a intersection, and a pedestrian walked across, so she waited for the pedestrian, which meant that the person flagrantly running the red light didn't hit her and didn't hit anyone. It's easy, then, to have your initial response, as mine was, to thank God for that. It seems like a miraculous intervention. And by that gratitude towards God, it was a miraculous intervention, I choose to believe it as such, shapes my view of God for the rest of the day. But can't my view of God be shaped just as much by expressing the same kind of gratitude to him for all those other little things? The person in the drive-through line ahead of you who paid for your coffee for no better reason than they just felt like it? Sure, they're a wonderful person. They are a wonderful person. But they were also the hands of Jesus passing that cash across so you didn't have to pay for your coffee. So that's who that was. It wasn't just a stranger. It was somebody that you know really well. We tend, for better or for worse, we tend to involve God in what we do and the big things we receive. The act of ongoing, consistent gratitude for God choosing to work through the people around us and being grateful to them and to him is something that we need to work on. At least many of us do. I know I do. And if all of you do this well already, that's wonderful and helps explain why you're such delightful people to be around. But if you're like me, reminders to do what I know I should do already are a good thing. And this is another one of those reminders. I really like the fact that the Bible is filled with stories about people who are just like me. Who, can you imagine the look on their faces when they looked at each other and said, as this text has, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Can you imagine just the slack-jawed wonder of it all that they must have looked at each other? And then ran back to tell people, yeah, it is true. All that stuff that you told us, we believe it in a different way now than we did before. Not that we thought you were liars, but now we really believe you. Or whatever the first century equivalent was of covering your tracks. I think if we're interested in such things when we get to heaven and we ask around, I think we're going to see that Jesus was really involved with our lives a lot more than we think he was. And yes, the world still has problems, all the way from the big geopolitical ones, Russia and the Ukraine, to the small ones of the irritants of day-to-day life. It's a fallen world we live in. It's a world where a gracious God, for reasons that make sense to him, if not to us, entrusted us with volition, with choice, even bad choices. And so the world isn't perfect, even though Jesus is in it. But I just wonder, when we get to heaven, if we ask Jesus, you know, like, how often were you there? I mean, I know you were there in the big day. I know you were there when my parents died. I knew you were there when my kids were in trouble. All of those things. I knew about. What about those other things? I think we're going to be surprised at how often he had somebody at home when you needed to phone because you locked your keys in your house. Or whatever else it might be. And then we'll say, so that's who that was, in a way that we might not be saying it quite so much now. And we may, I don't know what heaven's like, if chagrin will be part of the experience or not. We may look a little chagrined, a little embarrassed that we didn't notice. I don't know. But for these next few days, if this is something, a reminder that's good for you, as it is for me, for the next few days, at least next week or two, take a moment when you thank those people who do those things for you, who let you go ahead of them in line, who hold the door for you when your arms are full, whatever it might be. Take a moment to thank Jesus too. Thank the Holy Spirit for being in that person and giving them that little prod to do what they needed to do, to throw a quarter in your parking meter when it ran out. Whatever it might be. Because Jesus isn't just with us so we can do things. And he's not just for us in the crises of life. He's always here. He always loves us. He's always doing things for us. And he's going to continue doing them for us, whether we say thank you or not. If we ever had any doubts about the essential parenthood of God, I think that sums it up. Because like all parents, we continue to do for our children, whether they say thank you or notice or not. He'll continue. But I bet just like us, when our kids thank us for those things that we do anyway, doesn't it make you feel good? I bet it makes Jesus feel good too. So instead of waiting till the end of all things when we can get to heaven and see all these things that happened and say thank you at that point, let's do it now. Let's spend the next little while thanking those wonderful people around us who so often are the hands of Jesus. And so it's not just them, it's him too. Grateful people are so much better to be around, so much happier than they are than ungrateful people. Let's be grateful for the hands of Jesus extended to us at all times. Amen.